One of the most amazing aspects of being a believer in Jesus Christ is that God, the creator of heaven and earth, has become my, your heavenly Father. He is a Father I can trust, talk to, and He longs to talk to me. We as believers can fellowship with our heavenly Father. That's just so amazing. Now, growing up in church, this was not how I was taught to view God. He wasn't my heavenly Father. He was God. In my church at that time, there was a picture of Jesus on the throne behind the pulpit. It was like a 50-foot high Jesus. And during the service, he would just stare at me, his eyes piercing, looking through my soul. And he seemed to be condemning me for my sins. Needless to say, I didn't want to go to church very often. Church was not fun to me. Church is not a place that I wanted to be. God was distant, far away. And he didn't seem interested in me at all. In fact, he seemed eager to punish me for my sins. And I made a lot of mistakes. So he was out to get me. And how sad that I was in church, but I had no relationship with God. Now let's fast forward to when I was attending college and going through a rough time in my life, going through a lot of problems, a lot of issues. And my religion was not helping me. It was not working in my life. And people started sharing with me the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, how Jesus lived, how he died on the cross, how he was raised on the third day, and how he paid the price for my sins. And he gave me this amazing inheritance, which we call the abundant life in John 10:10. So thank God at the age of 19, I called on the name of the Lord and I was saved. I started reading my Bible for the first time. I started to learn about this inheritance that I had based on the finished work of Christ. One of the parts of that inheritance was I was made righteous. And this means I have the same right standing with God as Jesus himself. And that changed everything for me. It changed the way that I viewed God and the way I viewed myself. I began to realize that I was God's son and I had a special place with him. I had favor with him. And he wanted to have a relationship with me. Whereas before he was distant, he was far, didn't seem interested in me. Now he was eager to have a relationship with me, to know me, to show me his plan, to help me in my daily life. And this was amazing for me. And so one of the big revelations that really helped me when I missed it, that instead of running from God, to run to him. Don't run from him, run to him. And he was waiting with love and strength and forgiveness. So Christianity used to be a religion to me. But when I gave my heart to Jesus, it became all about my relationship with my Heavenly Father. Now, one of the primary ways we fellowship with God is through prayer. Prayer is simply talking to God and then listening when he talks to you. One of the biblical definitions of fellowship is sharing. I really like this. And sharing is a two-way street. True fellowship is sharing with each other. And this is how we get close to people. This is how we get intimate, when they share their heart with you and you share your heart with them. And so God wants us to have fellowship with him. He wants to share all that he is with us, and we're to share all that we are with him. I love what it says in Hebrews 4, verse 16. This is about biblical fellowship. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need. I remember when I was, used to work at home and in my office, and my kids were young, and I used to have my door closed to really work and, you know, have some time of quiet and concentrate on what I was doing. And there'd be this knock on my door, and I'd say, come on in, and it'd be one of my kids, and they're small and they're young, and they just walked right up to me. I'm sitting there at my desk, all of these papers and work before me, and they just come sit in my lap and push all the papers aside because they wanted to spend time with me. And I would just, you know, take time from my busy schedule to fellowship with them, to spend time with them. You know, they would come boldly to my desk. And it's the same way with us. God's not mad at us. He's not trying to keep us away. He wants us to come boldly to his throne of grace. And he wants to favor us and he wants to bless us. And he wants to answer our prayers. So when I was around other believers, that's how we learn to pray, is being around other people that are praying. Growing up, it used to be these memorized prayers. And the problem with that is it just became a routine, and then these prayers become meaningless. They didn't have any power or anything to them. They became stale. They became stagnant. Then as I gave my life to Jesus and I was around other people that were praying, that, you know, I wanted to learn from them, they'd pray based upon their opinions. prayed based upon how they felt that day. And you know, one thing I realized about those kind of prayers, they were never answered. So that's not the way I wanted to pray. So it wasn't the memorized prayers. It wasn't the prayers based on feelings or the prayers based on opinions. And because the scripture says the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. So these kind of prayers have no power. I love this quote by E.M. Bounds, a great minister of God who wrote much on the subject of prayer. It says, "Prayer is no dreary performance, dead and death-dealing, but is God's enabling act for man, living and life-giving." I love that. Prayer is about giving life, joy and joy-giving. Prayer is the contact of a living soul with God. In prayer, God stoops to kiss man, to bless man, and to aid man in everything that God can devise or man can need. And that is powerful. Prayer is exciting. Prayer is connecting with God. Prayer is connecting with the power of God, bringing His power on the scene and changing circumstances. So as I began to mature as a believer, I began to understand the power of God's Word. The Bible was love letters written to me from God. It was my manual for living. It dealt with every area of my life. It helped me to live the abundant life in my relationships, in my finances, in my body, in concerning health and healing. And so why couldn't it be a guidebook for me on prayer? So I began to study the scriptures, and I would find all these scriptures on prayer. And so I learned this. Do you want to be a person of prayer that gets things done in this world, that accomplishes things for the kingdom? Well, then pray according to God's word. So remember this today. Always launch your prayers from the platform of God's word. This is the key to having your prayers answered. I remember when I would need wisdom, I would go to the scriptures. James chapter 1, verse 5 says this, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach." And I like that "without reproach" means it doesn't matter on your prior performance. He's still going to give you wisdom. It's not based on you. It's based on what Jesus did for you. And then it will be given to you. So that's what I would do. I would go to God. I said, "Father, I need wisdom based on His word." So I launched that prayer based on the platform of His word. "Father, today I need wisdom." And because of His word, I would expect to receive that wisdom. So I would just thank Him for it. I remember when we were buying our building, our first building for the church, and just going through a lot of looking at land and looking at buildings. And my faith, it was just like, "God, how is this going to happen?" Well, I found this great scripture, Psalm 44, verse 3, that says, "For we did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them, but it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you favored them." So I went before God and asked God for this building. I asked God for land and based it just on this one scripture. And you want to know what? He answered that prayer. He granted that prayer to our congregation. So that's how you do it. And so I would find a scripture, stand on that scripture, ask God for it, and then just thank Him for it based on His word. Now, our authority in prayer is based on what Jesus did for us and who He made us to be. And so when we pray in the name of Jesus, it's as if Jesus Himself is making this request. He gave us the power of attorney. What the power of attorney means is, if I were to give power of attorney to someone in my family, that means they could act on my behalf. They could sign legal documents. They could draw money out of the bank. They could write checks in my name. It's as if I was writing that check. They're writing it in Matt Judd's name. And it's the same thing. We've been given power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. John 14, verse 13 says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." So we've been given the right to use the name of Jesus. So when I pray, I pray to my Heavenly Father, and I pray in the name of Jesus. It's not some kind of a cute tagline that we end our prayers with. It means something. I'm praying in the name of Jesus, and all of heaven, my Heavenly Father, will respond when I pray in that name. So launch your prayers from the platform of God's Word. Pray to your Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. Now, when you spend time with God and take advantage of the privilege of prayer, anxiety and worry will depart from you. So many people today, they're stressed out, they're worried, they're concerned about just the cares of the world. And I understand, I've got problems that I deal with, and they affect me. But I love what it says in Philippians 4, verse 6. Now listen to this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love what the Amplified says. It says that His peace will garrison and mount guard over your heart and your mind. I love that. It's like the angels of God will be just garrisoned around you and protect you. So don't. When that's happening, you don't have a worry. You don't have a care. Everything's going to be okay. So talk to Him. Pray. Look to the Word. And your cares and your worries are going to go away because you're going to trust in what God has said about you. What He has said about you is more important than what circumstances are screaming at you. And when you believe His Word and believe what you have asked for in prayer, I mean, you don't have a care. Now, I didn't know this growing up, but there's various types of prayers. The only kind of prayer I knew about growing up was desperate prayers of unbelief. That's all I knew about. And those prayers never, ever got answered. And so I'm going to share with you seven types of prayer. Now, I'm not making these up. These are not my opinion. And it's not based on church tradition. These are all found in the Bible. First type of prayer is the prayer of consecration. And this is a prayer where we dedicate our lives to God for His service and for His use. And this should be the constant prayer for every follower of Jesus. This prayer is based on Luke 22, Jesus in the garden, praying before He goes to Calvary. In verse 41 it says, "And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and He knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is Your will, take this cup away from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Yours be done." Note that when Jesus consecrated Himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed, "If it is Your will." This is the only time we see this phrase used in prayer, because as we give ourselves to God, we don't always fully know all the details of God's plan for our life. And so when you're around people and they pray, "If it is Your will," and it is not a prayer of consecration, I can guarantee you this prayer is a prayer of doubt and unbelief, and it won't come to pass. And so when you're praying the prayer of consecration, it's coming before God. You're facing a situation. I've had this many times in my life. And you don't know what to do. I have specific promises concerning finances and health in my body and relationships. And so I can specifically go to God's Word and find those promises. But in a prayer of consecration, I don't know what to do. I don't know what God's will is. The Bible doesn't specifically spell it out. And so I'm going to God and saying to Him, "Not my will," because my plans are going to come to naught. And so I don't know. So I said, "God, show me Your plan. Not my will be done, but Yours be done." In the Spirit of God, when you pray that prayer, He's going to show you and reveal to you His will. I remember one time I was a meeting overseas, and it was during praise and worship, and it was a real time of consecration. And I was just praying and talking to God, and I spoke those words, and I said, "Father, it's not about me. It's about You and about Your plan." And so I said those words, "Not my will be done, but Yours." And I'm telling you, during that time of prayer, He spoke to me about how many nations that I would go to. Spoke to me about His plan, about going overseas. And so it's during those times of consecration and giving yourself over to God and to His will and surrendering your life to Him, He's going to speak to you and show you things to come. Over my life, I mean, so many times I've prayed this prayer, and He has guided me. He has shown me things to come. He's helped me in His plan. And so I just want to encourage you, make this a part of your prayer and your fellowship with God. Make the prayer of consecration one of the most important prayers that you pray, and watch as He will show you amazing things that He has for your life and for your ministry. The next type of prayer is the prayer of faith. This is a prayer of a petition to receive what God has already promised you. And again, this is based on the Word. Mark 11, verse 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." And this is the most common type of prayer, praying about finances, praying about our bodies, praying about relationships, praying about circumstances. And again, go to God's Word. Find 3, 4, 5 scriptures concerning, say it's about finances. Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And so what I would learn to do is find 3 to 5 scriptures, put them on a note card, launch my prayer of faith, you know, based on those scriptures, and then trust them. And if ever I had any doubt, I'd pull up that note card and go back over and remind myself and remind God of what He's already promised me in His scriptures. And then doubt would leave. And I knew that prayer was going to be answered. So that's the prayer of faith. The next type of prayer is the prayer of agreement. This is where you join with another believer of like faith in prayer. And you're going through a situation, you're struggling, you call somebody, "Hey, will you agree with me in prayer about this particular situation?" Matthew 18:19 says, "Again, I say that if 2 of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." That's an amazing promise. And this is an amazing promise to people that are married. Today, the enemy fights those that are married. He knows, because when 2 people come together in union, how powerful that is. When they touch on and agree on anything, it shall be done. So the enemy fights marriages, but the prayer of agreement is so powerful in the marriage relationship, about the family, about finances, about your kids. And so I really, that's a powerful prayer for my wife and I to pray. It is a powerful prayer for you. Find you a trusted, I call it a crazy faith friend. Find someone that you trust, that's a strong believer. Touch and agree on something that you need or they need, and it shall be done according to Matthew 18:19. The next type of prayer is the prayer of supplication. And this is not a prayer for ourselves, but this is a prayer for other believers. And there's a whole lot of prayers like this in the New Testament, especially from the Apostle Paul. He had these prayers, and I want to read one of these prayers in Ephesians chapter 1, verse starting in verse 15, that says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." And then these are things we pray for each other, pray for other believers. "That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." So these are things that we can pray for other believers. And there's other prayers that Paul has for us in Ephesians 3, Philippians 1, Colossians 1. Pray these for your family. Pray these for your spouse. Pray these for your kids. Pray these for other believers. Pray those for folks in your church. And watch as these things come to pass in other people's lives. Another type of prayer is the prayer of intercession. So we have prayer for ourselves, prayer for other believers. Now we have the prayer of intercession. And this is the prayer for other lost people. You have lost family, lost friends, those that don't know Jesus. I mean, you want them to be saved. You want them to come to know God. And so there are prayers that we can pray for them. One of the prayers that we pray is that the blinders may be removed. The Satan's got blinders over them, so they can't see God and know Him. And then also, in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus is looking over the city, and he sees his sheep, and they're lost, they're harassed, they're going through all things, all kind of problems and situations. And so he looks out, and he doesn't pray, Lord, heal them, or Lord, save them, or Lord, change them. No, he prays, Lord, send forth the laborers. And so that's a prayer that we need to be praying. Send forth the laborers into the harvest field. Bring laborers across our loved one's path. Bring to share the gospel. And then you be open to the Spirit of God, that maybe God will use you as that laborer to share the gospel with them. And so this is the prayer of intercession, powerful prayer. And so many times people will say, use that, well, all kind of prayer is the prayer of intercession. No, the prayer of intercession is standing in the gap for that lost person. You're standing in the gap for them to be saved. The next type of prayer is the prayer of praise and worship. Do you know that worship is prayer? Worship is talking to God. It's giving Him praise. It's singing. It's rejoicing. And this is a prayer, you know, Paul talked about praying always. Well, this is something you can do all day long. When I'm driving in the car, just walking in the house, walking around, I'll be singing to myself. And also you can speak the Word of God as a praise. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 145, and it says this, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. So you can read the Word, read the Psalms to Him. You can sing psalms. And what it does, it's, you remember Paul and Silas in Acts 16? They're in the dungeon. They're in prison. You know, it's the midnight hour. They're locked up, and it's dark, and it's nasty, and, you know, it's like, you know, they've been beaten. I mean, what are they going to do? Well, what do they start doing? They start singing psalms. Start singing songs, singing hymns. They start praising God. They start praying prayers, and all the prisoners are listening. And I'm telling you, by doing that, it changed their circumstances. Suddenly the prison doors were open. Their chains were loosed. The jailer, he and his family were saved. Praise brings God on the scene. Praise changes the situation. So when you're going through something, start praising God. Start lifting your hands and giving God praise. When it's the midnight hour, and watch as God, He hears the praises of His people. He inhabits your praise, and He'll come on the scene and change your circumstances. There's another type of prayer, which we call praying in the Spirit. And this is when you pray in tongues. And this is the evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I love this type of prayer. This is, again, like praise and worship. This is something I'm doing all day long. I'm praying in my heavenly language, and I'm praying under my breath. And I like what Romans 8, verse 26 says, when you don't know how to pray as you ought, pray in the Spirit. And there's just so many times you start, you know, you may have your prayer list, and you're praying things in your language, and you just run out of things to pray after a few minutes. But if you'll pray in the Spirit, and it's God's heavenly language praying through you, you can pray for an hour. You can pray for a half an hour, and it's easy. And in Jude, it talks about it charges you up. It builds you up. And so many times, you know, when you're praying, it quiets down your mind, and it quiets down your mind so you can hear from God. And so many times, I mean, I remember at ORU, Oral Roberts University, I was just going through a lot of difficulties there, a lot of problems. And you know, I don't know if you've ever been there. I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning, couldn't sleep. So I go out and walk in the walking track and just walk and pray in the Spirit. I was dealing with finances. I didn't have the money to pay my bill. I don't know if you've ever been there. And so I was just stressed out. You know, they're talking about kicking me out of school. You know, they want money, you know, for their tuition. But I would just go at night and, you know, walk on the track and just pray in the Spirit and just praise God until peace would come. Until, you know, worry would leave. And I was able to go back to my dorm room and go to sleep. I mean, this is a powerful type of prayer. And so I just want to encourage you today, be baptized in the Holy Spirit and partake of one of the benefits of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that's praying in the Spirit. That's praying in a heavenly language, and it really will be a blessing to you. In conclusion, know today that you are a son and daughter of God. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants you to know Him, and He wants to share with you His plans for you, what he has for you in the future. And one of the best ways to fellowship with Him is through prayer. Again, prayer is just talking to God. Come boldly to His throne to obtain mercy and to find grace. Pray to your Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. Use your power of attorney. Launch your prayers from the platform of God's Word. Pray in tongues often. And I want you to know prayer is fun. Prayer is exciting. Prayer will change you for the better. It will change the circumstances around you. Learn to cultivate a life of prayer. And if you'll do that, watch as God will turn your worries and cares into victorious testimonies. And watch as your Heavenly Father will do amazing things in and through you. Amen.